بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك. As you remember, we started talking about the most fundamental virtue in Islamic ethics. And we said that our ultimate end is nearness to Allah or human flourishment, which we said are two sides of the same coin. So that's our ultimate end. Then we said, now we want to find out what is the most important central virtue, if there is such a thing. Because one may say, no, there is not one single virtue which is most fundamental. As many books, you know, on akhlaq, they have listed, you know, either all the virtues in the same level, or for example, they have classified them according to different faculties of human soul. But my idea was that there seems to be one virtue which is the most fundamental virtue. So we are trying to explore that. You remember we discussed about truthfulness, about delivering the trust, and then because of the section about truthfulness, we started the discussion about al-haq. So you have to remember how we reached this point. According to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-haq. You remember we had these verses, for example, like ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. He is al-haq. Then he says he has created everything bil-haq. So everything which is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created bil-haq. Bil-haq doesn't just mean that they are real. It doesn't mean just that, for example, these are not imaginations. No, it's more than that. It means that the way they are created is according to the observation of haq. So it means that nothing false, no falsehood can get into this creation. For example, one aspect of this is that there is no disorder. There is no conflict. There is, for example, no blind decision involved, no arbitrary decision involved. You know, if you want to consider the opposite, maybe it helps. For example, if someone creates a hotel or a hospital bil batil, what does it mean? It means that either the land doesn't belong to him, or he doesn't have the permission, or the design is not good, or the materials are not good, either they are stolen or they are weak material, not, you know, solid material, or the way it's built is not good, or it cannot serve the purpose. You build a hospital, but then you cannot gain anything from it. Or it is not run properly. So these are all different aspects of being bil-batil. So when we say it is created bil-haq, then it means that planning, designing, material, purpose, functioning, everything is okay. Okay? So خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ. In addition to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran that He has provided us with true religion. So not only creation is bil-haq, legislation is also bilhaq. Is it clear? Because again, nothing out comes out of Allah which is batil. So everything has to be haq. For example, in the Quran, we have this ayah that you are all familiar. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has sent his messenger bil-huda, with guidance, wa-deen al-haq. I will come back to deen al-haq. Li-yudhirahu, so that he or that deen al-haq becomes dominant over all other religions, or over all religions, even if the people who are, you know, they don't believe, they don't, you know, accept, even if they don't like this. So, the concept of Deen al-Haq, what does it mean, Deen al-Haq? وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ. What does it mean, Deen al-Haq? You know enough of Arabic to understand this. No, first of all, what does it literally mean, Deen al-Haq?
The true religion.
The true religion of truth.
Religion of justice.
Normally, I think, often I have heard people translate and interpret this verse as true religion. They say, Allah has sent the Prophet, the Messenger, with guidance and true religion, which is Islam, and then Islam would be dominant over all religions. But I think this is not saying true religion. It is not ad-din al-haq. It's din al-haq, not ad-din al-haq. It's not adjective. It's not sifat and mawsuf. It's muzaf and muzafun ilayh. Okay? So it means that this is the religion which serves al-haq. Okay, do you understand?
Yeah.
This is the religion of al-haq. It means this is the path towards al-haq. Because what is the meaning of religion? Deen means path. Yeah? Religion is a path. And we can have path towards haq. We can have path towards batil. In Quran, we have sometimes religion for shirk. Lakum dinukum waliya din. So din is not always used in the Quran in the positive sense. Din is the path that people have taken in their life. It can be true path, good path. It can be bad. So this religion is the religion which serves al-haq. Means it's the path towards al-haq. And this is the same thing as saying it's guidance. Bil-huda. Because what is guidance? Guidance is to show how to reach al-haq. Okay? You remember we had this discussion. Dhalal is what? To miss al-haq. Okay? Dhalal is to miss al-haq. What is the difference between jahl and dhalal? Because Jahil also misses Al-Haq. Dhalal, in my understanding, is used for someone who has moved, who has made a journey, who has a path. So Dhalal is dynamic. Jahl can be static and can be dynamic. Okay? But Dhalal is used for someone who is moving. In other words, Dhalal is for someone who tries to get to the destination but is lost. Okay? So for someone who has not moved at all, maybe you cannot use Dhalal. Okay? So, this is the religion of guidance. This is the religion of Al-Haq, which is, as I said, very similar. Because guidance is to come. Okay. Then, لَيُّذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ means that the religion of the truth will overcome any other religion that may exist, which would be Dinul Batil. So opposite to Dinul Haq is Dinul Batil. Okay? So here the question is not the question of one religion against other religions. You know, it's not the question, for example, among, for example, different religions, you know, which religion is going to overcome. The question is that at the end, the victory is for Haq. And the religion which is at the service of Al-Haq and those communities of religious people that are seeking the truth, they will finally overcome. Because Batil has no future. Batil comes quickly, sometimes, you know, can spread quickly, but cannot stay. You know, there is a saying which says, لِلْحَقِّ دَوْلَةِ وَلِلْبَاطِلِ جَوْلَةِ. It means that the real success and victory is for Haq, but Batil is moving around. Okay? Batil is moving around. Like, for example, a rumor. What is the difference between a rumor and a piece of wisdom? A piece of wisdom may not get anywhere quickly. Yeah? If I tell you a piece of wisdom, maybe you don't share with anyone, or at least you share with some people. That's it. But if it's a rumor, in few hours, it spreads. This is the difference between Haq and Batil. Batil can quickly spread. Health is not spreading, but disease can spread. Do you accept or not? I have not heard that we have epidemic of health. That health, you know, affects other people. I don't know actually why there is such problem. Anyway, but disease can spread. Okay? So, those who are not patient, those who don't know the way Allah has created this world, when they see battle is, you know, active, spreading, everyone is talking about battle, everyone is after, for example, somehow discussion about battle, not everyone, I'm talking many people, then they may lose their hope. They say there is no chance for Haq to win. So when people see that there is no chance for Haq to win, then either they become hopeless, they become despaired, so they don't make efforts. Or some people say, let's join battle. At least we can enjoy, you know, ourselves in being with majority. Yeah, maybe unconsciously, but this is what's happened. You know, many people, when they see battle is strong, they say, let's join battle. But Quran says something very important. Quran says that Batil has no future. Batil cannot survive. This beautiful ayah, if I can find it. Can someone search it? Amma zabadu fayadhabu jufa'an. Can you find the reference for me? Amma zabadu fayadhabu jufa'an. I give you the ayah, and inshallah someone can find and give you the reference so that you can easily find. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the example of haq and batil is like rain coming down. Okay. When rain comes, sometimes you see there is like flood. It flows, and sometimes you see lots of bubbles on the surface. Even sometimes bubbles can cover all the surface. Okay? So you see only batil. It's the only bubble, because bubble is just void. Inside there is no water. Yeah? Bubble looks big, but it's empty. Yeah? It's opposite to samad. Samad is something which is full inside. Bubble is empty. Okay? Like an alim with big imama, without knowledge and taqwa. This is bubble. Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, batil is like that bubble. Zabad. Amma zabadu fayadhhabu jufa'an. That will go away. Those bubbles, after some time, when water relaxes, stays still, they go away. Yeah? You see, you know, for example, even when you boil, for example, water, you see lots of, you know, bubbles. After a few minutes, they all settle. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. But what benefits people, which is the real water, فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, it remains.
It's ayah number 17 in Surah Ra'd.
Ah. Surah Ra'd, ayah 17. Okay. What does this mean? Please think about this ayah. This ayah means that, first of all, batil has no reality. If we had no water, we couldn't have bubbles. Yeah? So these bubbles come and they use water in order to exist. You understand? If we didn't have, for example, religion, we didn't have deviations. This doesn't mean that it was better, but it means that deviation comes when we have religion. You know, it's like Quran says, sometimes people were divided and had conflict because there was no religion, no Sharia. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them then the book, the Sharia, the Prophet, to save them from conflict. Then what happened? Then they started fighting over religion. You see the problem? So, batil has to hang on something. Yeah? So, this is one point. So the reality is haq. Batil comes on the surface. What does it mean? It means that it catches your eye. Yeah? So it can quickly draw your attention. It can catch your eye. It can even sometimes cover haq. So haq is as if unknown. Okay? But it has no future. It cannot remain. It will go away. You have to be patient. You have to be careful. If you are careful and remain patient, you would see that haq would overcome. And one very important point in this ayah, which is amazing me a lot, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that haq has this characteristic that benefits people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Amma ma yanfa'u an-nas. Instead of saying amma al-haq, it says amma al-batilu fayazhabu jufa'an. Then he should have said wa amma al-haqqu fayabqa. But instead of saying amma al-haq, it says wa amma ma yanfa'u an-nas fayamkuthu fil ard. What does it mean? It means that haq benefits people. And what benefits people is haq from both sides. In epistemology, there is an idea that some people have, which we don't subscribe to that idea. But they say truth is what works. It's a kind of pragmatist approach to truth. You know, we say there is a reality, independent reality, and truth is when your judgment, your statement corresponds to that reality. This is the correspondence theory of truth. Okay? There is another theory, which is the theory which says that truth is to be consistent. There is no independent reality. There has to be just no internal contradiction. There is a third view which says that truth is what works. So whatever works, that's the truth. We don't say this. We say, no, truth is independent reality, and we have to find it and correspond to this. But we accept that truth is helping. Truth is benefiting. This ayah has lots of implications. If you want to understand whether your, for example, work, for example, you are preaching, you are writing book, you are, I don't know, opening a school, whatever. If you want to understand whether this is haq, one of the things that can help you is to see whether it benefits people or not. If something benefits people, then it can be a sign that, inshallah, this is haq. Look at people who have, for example, written books. Some books have remained over centuries. Some books are forgotten. Those books that people have found them useful and beneficial, they have remained. Those books that people have found them useless, they have not remained. Shaykh Abbas Qumi, rahmatullah alayh, has compiled Mafatih al-Jannah with pure intention, but it's not just pure intention, also with a proper understanding of what people need and what can benefit people. He compiled Mafatih al-Jannah, and now there are tens of millions of copies of Mafatih al-Jannah everywhere. Maybe in every house of the Shia, you find Mafatih al-Jannah, at least one copy, maybe sometimes few copies. It's not just because this is, for example, a book which has good ideas, or for example, you know, it's there are true du'as there. No, it's also something which is beneficial for people. So, one sign of bilhaq is to be beneficial for people. It's not just to be something which is true. It has to be true and it has to be useful. So you now you're understanding that bilhaq, it doesn't just mean true. I told you the, for example, example that sometimes something can be true but not haq. You remember the example? About, I said, you know, if a mother has lost, you know, her son in an accident, or her daughter in an accident, okay, and she doesn't know. So, you can go and right away tell her that your son or daughter is killed, and then she can have heart attack. So, you say, I told the truth. But say, yes, you told the truth, but you didn't say it bilhaq. Bilhaq is not just to tell the truth. Sometimes, for example, a person is angry with her husband or his wife. Then you go and say to the other party that he or she said this about you. He said, why you said this? Say, I said what was true. Say, it was true, but it was not bilhaq. Haq is more than just true. Haq has to be useful also, not harmful. Okay? So, مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So always we have to look for those things which are based on truth and reality, but also benefit people. How much Allah loves people? You know, some people think that Islam is not very much paying attention to human beings. This is wrong. Islam is very much showing respect and honors people. Even to the extent that Allah says, "Haq is ma yanfa'u an-nas." Or when it comes to Muslim Ummah, Allah says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrajat lin-nas." You are the best nation brought forth for people. Some of you attended the course we had on community building. I explained, this is not the idea of Muslims being chosen people, like, you know, some people have this idea. They say, we are the chosen people. Everyone has to serve us. We are the best. Because, you know, this is a challenge. If a religion comes, a philosophy comes, I don't know, a political idea comes and says to its followers that you are like any other person, then they say, so why we should follow you? So to attract people and keep people, they have to say, by following us, you become better. You are special. You are chosen. Okay? This is very natural. But Islam has not been trapped by this. Although some Muslims are trapped. But Islam is not trapped. Islam doesn't say you are the best people just because you follow Islam. Islam says you are the best nation to serve humanity. Linnas, not alannas. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrajat linnas. If it was alannas, it means that you are superior and people have to serve you. Okay? So now you understand the difference between linnas and alannas. Yeah? Ala is for isti'la, yeah, it's superior, but lennas is to benefit. So أما الحق حق is what ما ينفع الناس. The religion of حق, the nation of حق also are to benefit us. This is a very important idea. Let's go back to our discussion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that حق is remaining. Another ayah which also explains this is this ayah, Surah Anfal, verses 7 and 8. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُحَقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيَقْطَعَ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to establish the truth with his words. يُحَقَّ الْحَقِّ. What does it mean, يُحَقَّ الْحَقِّ? To establish the truth. You may say, حَق is حَق. What does it mean to يُحَقَّ? To make حَق حَق? But it means that to establish it. Because sometimes حَق is there, but denied, ignored, overlooked. لِيُحَقَّ الْحَقِّ. Yeah? Do you enjoy Arabic or not?
Yeah.
Very helpful. لِيُحَقَّ الْحَقِّ. If you just read in, you know, translation, you cannot have this taste. لِيُحَقَّ الْحَقِّ. And actually, when you put it in Arabic, then you would realize that how silly is if someone tries to oppose haq. Nothing is more natural than anyone trying to do ihqaqul haq, liyuhiqqal haq. This is the most natural thing that everyone can do, and of course Allah does that. Wa yaqta'a dabiral kafirin. But those who are against the truth. We have said several times that kafir, most of the time in the Quran, kafir means what? Means those who have kufrul juhud. Allah Tabatabai says kafir in most of the cases in the Quran is kufrul juhud. Means those who deliberately reject the truth. It's not that every non-Muslim is kafir. Kafir is Abu Sufyan. Kafir is Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab. Not that, you know, that monk that, for example, saw the Prophet is a kafir. Who praised the Prophet. Yes. Not that monk who washed the head of Imam Hussein is kafir. Yes. They were not Muslim, but they were not kafir. In most of the cases when Allah talks in the Quran about kuffar, means kufrul juhud, because we have four types of kufr. So, those who fight against the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cuts them off. It means that they will not be able to survive. When Allah says وَيَقْتَعَ الدَّابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ, it means that they cannot continue. They cannot survive. And then in the next verse, again Allah says لِيُحَقَّ الْحَقْ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلِ وَلَوْ كَرَهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Even if the criminals don't like, Allah is going to establish the truth and remove batil. ويبطل الباطل. Okay? يبطل الباطل doesn't mean to make batil batil. It means to remove batil. Okay? There are also some other verses of the Quran which indicate that this world is made in the way that in the end of the day, batil cannot survive in this world. You know, imagine if you have a very secure system that no thief can remain unknown till end of this world. Sooner or later, the thieves will be detected. Sooner or later, the viruses will be detected. Because very secure. Once I gave you this idea that this world is like a body that when it swallows something bad and harmful, it starts coughing. You know, like for example, those who have not smoked. When they smoke for the first time, then they cough so that they get rid of that smoke. But when they keep smoking, and that smoke gets mixed with them, they become weak. The immunity is affected, then they don't cough. And then they start enjoying the smoking. Because this is now, because their flesh and blood has become smoked. Yeah? It has affected them. This world is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bilhaq. So battle may come, but the world resists and pushes back battle from itself. So now, what should me and you do? In addition to observing the time? What should we do? Is here? I don't know.
We stick to the haq only, I think.
What we have to do is do our best to first find the truth. Inshallah, if Allah gives us tawfiq, I will explain that discovering truth is very, very fundamental. This is our intellectual ibadah. What is our intellectual ibadah? To discover the truth. Isn't it?
Yes.
To discover the truth. And then to adjust ourselves according to truths that we have discovered. Because what is the point? If we discover the truth and then we ignore it. Yeah? So when you discover the truth, you have to adjust yourself to the truth. And then you have to do it so well that you reflect the truth. So not only adjust yourself to the truth, then people by looking at you should be able to see the truth. And also be with the people who are at the service of the truth. If we have a small mirror that reflects the truth, it would be much better if that mirror is attached to another mirror. Then we have a better image. Then we add another mirror. If we have a community of 1,000 believers, so it has to be like 1,000 mirrors connected to each other. So we have very wide mirror that can show the truth. And there are some types of truths that connected mirrors can show, but single mirrors cannot show. What is that? Maybe you say, Maulana, what is wrong if we have 1,000 scattered mirrors?
They are separated.
Pardon?
They are separated.
Yeah. So what can be seen in connected mirrors that cannot be seen in scattered mirrors? Pardon? No, maybe says even in a small one, we make the picture small. Pardon? Yeah, you know, because one may say, okay, we can have, you know, 40-inch TV, we can have, you know, I don't know, 4-inch TV, but it's the same thing, just smaller and bigger. But I say no. When you are individuals, even if you have made sure that you reflect the truth, when you are separated, there are some types of truths that you cannot reflect. And that is those truths which relate to social relations. How can you reflect the beauty of charity, the beauty of love, the beauty of sacrificing your comfort for other people when it is a scattered mirror? It's impossible. How can we show the unity of husband and wife, parents and children, friends, when we are scattered? So it means that a great portion of truth will be missed and lost. Even if you have best individuals who are separated. This is why we have to form community. Okay? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Although taqwa is very important, perhaps taqwa is enough, but Quran says taqwa cannot be achieved when you are alone. You have to join sadiqin. So you have to find who are truthful and join them. Okay? So when I say these mirrors have to be connected, it's because of this. Okay, inshallah, we will continue this discussion next week. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.